I'm having a goddamn blast on tour with this Big Mouth and a Small Town tour. So I've added some dates and wanted to let you know where I'm headed next. March 14th, I will be in Lakeside, Arizona. And then the 15th and 16th, I'm finally coming to Tucson. So if you're in Tucson, I'm coming to Laughs Comedy Cafe. Get your tickets. We're going to have a good time. My good friend Noah Kopfer will be featuring at those shows. He'll also be with me the following weekend when I come to Grand Rapids, Michigan. Dr. Grins, I cannot wait to see you guys again. Those are always some of my favorite shows, and I'm sure this year will be no exception. And then I am headed up to my home state of Alaska for the Alaska Before You Die Fest. Anchorage, you better not fucking sit on these tickets. They're going fast. There's a few left. April 5th, I will be doing shows at the Gumbo House. It's downtown. I'm doing an early and a late show, one night only. It's an intimate venue, so tickets are limited. It's going to be out of control. If you've come to my show at Coots before, you know how fun they are. This venue is so much better for comedy. I can't even explain it. Just get fucking tickets. These shows are going to be wild. And then on the 6th, I'm headed down to Homer, Alaska. I am coming, performing there for the first time. Alice's Champagne Palace. And then on the 7th, I will be in Seward, Alaska. So Anchorage, Homer, Seward, we're having a goddamn good time. I'm going to come kill it all those shows because I'm a fucking Alaskan assassin. Am I sorry I said that? I don't know. Listen, Dayton, Kentucky, 12th of April. If you are in the Cincinnati-ish area, Dayton, Ohio, Dayton, Kentucky, this is your chance to see me at a really cool new venue called the Commonwealth Sanctuary. And then I am headed to Portland, May 3rd. I'm headlining the Rip City Comedy Festival. I will be at McMenamin's Mission Theater. You guys, this is a cool theater. We want it to be packed out because of course I want it to be packed out. But also, like, let's have a goddamn good time in this nice, beautiful theater. So come to that. It's going to be a hell of a time. I can't wait to come back to Portland. And then Wisconsin, I'm headed back your way. But this time I'm coming to Janesville, May 17th and 18th. Green Bay on the 19th. And then what up, Florida? St. Pete, Tampa. I'm coming your way. Tampa, I will be there June 2nd. And St. Pete, they're ahead of that, May 31st. Tampa, I'm at Side Splitters. And if you go to the links in all of my bios or go to their website to get tickets, for a limited time, you can use the code JMS and get $5 off tickets. And wherever you are, I'm trying to get people to buy tickets early instead of waiting to the last minute and making me panic, so that if it is going to sell out, it sells out faster, so that I know that, the club knows that, maybe we can add a second show. It just FYI, that helps every artist that you're a fan of. So if you can ever buy ASAP, go ahead and do that. So that's your incentive to buy early in Tampa. And I'll be adding more dates soon. If you did not hear your town, but you want me to come there, head over to my Instagram, instagram.com/JMS Comedy, or just at JMS Comedy if you're using the app like most of us. Click the link in my bio, join my email list. That lets me know where you guys are so I know what areas want to come see me. So do that. I can't wait to get to more cities. I'm having so much fucking fun on the road. You guys have been amazing. People have been buying merch. These audiences have been out of control good, just electric, laughing, having a blast. And I know all these upcoming shows are going to be no exception. So I will see you there. JMScomedy.com/shows to get your tickets. Tell your friends. Tell your enemies. We're going to have a fucking good time either way. So thanks for listening to this little promo. Enjoy this episode. Ta-ta, idiots.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
What kind of ignorant shit is that?
At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought.
You idiot, you fool!
Hey, dummy!
This is the Ignorance is Blessed podcast.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Happy New Year, idiots. Welcome back to Ignorance is Blessed, the podcast that attempts to overcome ignorance, mostly by asking ignorant questions. With me, JMS, Jessica Michelle Singleton. I'm a comedian, and I'm an idiot, and that is why we're here. If you're new to the podcast, welcome. Please subscribe. If you haven't, rate, review it on iTunes. That helps me out, helps other people find it. We can learn answers together. And thank you to everyone who has already done that. And shout out to my best idiots forever on Patreon, Jean, Dustin, and Kathy. I owe you guys all an extra Patreon episode, and I need to get some, what's it called, postcards in the mail, patreon.com/ignoranceisblessed. All one word if you want to join the Patreon. Bonus content and more to come. Cool stuff like postcards and merch and I don't know stuff. Go check it out. Thank you to everyone who subscribes to that. You're awesome. I am just finishing a weekend in Sacramento that has been really fun, and that is where I met my next guest. But if you want to see me somewhere on the road, jmscomedy.com/shows. I am coming to Europe at the second half of this month. So if you're in Strasbourg, Freiburg, Bern, Zurich, Basel, Luzerne, or Paris, so it's two cities in France, four in, what's it called, Switzerland, and one in Germany. Check out my calendar. Come see me there. I'm in and out. So, you know, I probably won't be back for a while. So make sure you get tickets to those. They're all in my, on my website. And, then Denver, the first week of February, I will be there with Steve Ranazzisi. Enough about me. Let's get to our guest, Mike Ishak. He's a really funny comedian out of Detroit who now lives in Los Angeles. He featured for me this weekend at Laughs Unlimited in Sacramento, and he took some time to sit down with me, and we talked all about him growing up with Muslim immigrant parents from Yemen, and how he joined the Marines, and kind of just being a Muslim in America, and the dichotomy of being a Muslim Marine, and just, we went a lot of cool places, and it was a really interesting in-depth conversation where we kind of pulled ideas apart from both sides, and we randomly talked a little about real estate. It was a really fun deep dive into his life and his perspective. So with no further ado, I'm not going to waste any time here. Let's just jump right into it. Enjoy, Mike Ishak. Hey, idiots. Listen, I'm here with Mike Ishak, funny comedian, and lots of stuff we're going to learn. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you. Thank you.
Looking forward to it. Let's just dive in. He and I are working together at Laughs in Sacramento this week, and you just fucking watching your material and shit. First of all, very funny, but also so interesting. I was like, oh, thank God I have my podcast equipment. I need to like corner him.
Well, thank you. Thank you. What was so interesting?
Okay, wait. So you're a Yemeni. Is that what they're called?
Yes, Yemenis.
Yemenis.
I call myself public Yemeni.
So your family's from Yemen? You grew up in Yemen? What's the story?
So my mom and dad were born in Indonesia, is weird because there's a lot of Yemenis that live in Indonesia. That's in Southeast Asia.
Are they next to each other? I don't know where Yemen is.
You don't know where Yemen is?
Dude, I used to know all the whole map, and now it's just sort of like lumps together, and I'm like, I know Egypt's in Africa, and the fucking Saudi Arabia is somewhere in the middle of between Asia and Europe, kind of south,
no.
But to the more towards Asia.
Apparently, I don't know where Alaska is.
Yeah.
We talked about that last time.
Oh, yeah. You learned on, if anyone knows Ginny from Laughs in Sacramento, she's got her own podcast, and he thinks Alaska is north of Canada.
It is. Some parts of it are north of Canada.
Some parts of the north are north from the south of Canada. It's not, it's adjacent. It's like parallel to Canada.
Okay. Well, you don't know where Yemen is. I'm going to tell you.
It's by Ukraine.
Do you know where? No.
The other one with the U.
No.
It's next to Russia. I'm just going to keep saying things. Is it by Kenya?
Do you know where Africa is?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's south of Europe.
Yes. Okay. So there's...
I'm picturing Africa in my mind.
West
Everyone,
Africa,
picture Africa.
There's West Africa.
Which is to the left
right?
on the map.
Right. And then there's East Africa, which is all the way on the right.
Yeah.
And one of the countries that's all the way on the right of the African continent is Ethiopia.
I knew that. You said something about Ethiopia.
Ethiopia. And then across the water from Ethiopia is the Arab Peninsula. That's where the Arab world starts.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
I think I see the map differently in my mind
of
than
course.
It is.
We're Americans.
Oh, it's also, yeah, drawn differently. That's, yeah. Fuck.
Yeah, so it's right there, and then like right next across that water is the Arab Peninsula, and the majority of the Arab Peninsula is Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
And the bottom south sliver is Yemen.
Yemen. And so Yemen's like the Argentina of I'm kidding. I don't know South Africa.
We're like the Mexicans of the Arabs. We're short. We're brown.
Oh,
hard workers.
Is that, are other Arabs not like that?
Not short like we are.
Am I allowed to say Arabs?
Yeah, it's better than saying Arab.
Oh,
I don't mind Arab.
It just sounds like a bad pronunciation.
It just sounds like a better pronunciation.
Arab.
I'm like Arab. Sounds what's, like more like it got more like it's got more oomph.
Well, I think that's just how Americans read things too. I mean, not that everyone now. I think most reasonably intelligent people are like that's not correct. But like Iran, Iraq, and it's like that's not how anyone else pronounces it.
It's
but
Iraq,
Iran,
it's Iran.
It's Persia. If you're hiding,
yeah, exactly.
oops. Okay, Yemen. So that's where my
bloodline's from.
Arab.
Right.
But Indonesia's not.
It's way
Southeast East. Asia.
So Indonesia is, do you know where Australia is?
Yeah. I kind of know Southeast Asia because I looked at a map because I was going to do some shows over there and I had to reschedule.
Right. So like, if you remember, like if you look at the
Australia,
map,
Australia, the part that's on fire.
And then to the west of Australia, sort of northwest, okay. is a gaggle fuck of islands.
Oh, yeah.
That's Indonesia.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like, I think it's 17,000 islands is what that country is made up of.
What?
There's like 700 different languages in the whole country.
Jeez Louise.
I think it has the most languages of any country.
Is there a majority religion there?
Islam.
Or is it Islam? Okay.
Islam. And then and you can credit the Yemenis for spreading Islam down there because apparently Yemenis from my village in Yemen have been travelers.
Crusaders.
Sort of like, not crusaders, more like traders. They
traders with a D.
Yeah, traders. They would trade along the Indian Ocean. They were like,
spice stuff?
Anything. So basically the part of Yemen where my people are from was a shitty part of Yemen. So they had to make boats and get the fuck out of there.
Oh, okay.
Because it just didn't, you couldn't grow anything.
They had to
there
get out of the
They
hood.
Had to get out of there. And then they just ended up having this tradition of being seafarers from this one village. And then they just were very well traveled all along Southeast Asia. And a lot of them would live in Southeast Asia. This is even predating Islam.
Just making, predating Islam.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
wow,
so anyways, so the Yemenis have been trading all along the Indian Ocean in Southeast Asia, predating Islam. And a lot of the Yemenis from my village, which is Hadramut, they're called Hadrami Yemenis.
Hadrami Yemenis. What a fun thing to say.
And they are the type of Yemenis who, even though they resided in Asia, they had this very strict policy where they had such a pride of being Hadrami Yemenis.
You need to know
Yemenis.
That I'm from Yemen.
Well, and not only that, you can't marry anybody else other than Hadrami Yemenis.
Racism.
So it's kind of like.
So many cultures, old school, like are still getting out of that. It's like newly.
Oh, yeah.
And their parents and grandparents are still, why don't you meet? Why don't you meet a nice Jewish guy?
Exactly.
Why don't you, a lot of my friends who are Indian, like Southeast Asia Indian, their parents want them to like date. I dated an Indian guy and. He's like, it took him a long time to even tell his parents we were dating.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, thank God.
He's not.
We were just worried you were going to say black.
Yeah, black girl.
They were just like, we thought you were gay. And I was like,
That's great.
it's like, just set them up to think it's the worst thing they're like racist or ist against. And then everything else is a godsend.
Yeah. So then, yeah. So then
parents.
Hadrami Yemenis just been living all along. Asia predating Islam, and I think some historians credit the Yemenis for spreading it across Southeast Asia.
Okay.
Because they were already there.
Yeah.
So it acted as a conduit.
It's interesting to think that the traveling predated Islam, and yet Islam still maybe got to those people who had traveled. Like that's how fast or like how quickly like is the Islamic religion spread.
Because a lot of Islam started peaked at around where Hadramut is in Yemen.
Oh, okay.
So there's like a very like important mosque there that has like a long tradition of Hadrami Yemen.
Is that like
Muslims.
The Jerusalem of Muslim town?
I wouldn't say it's the Jerusalem of Muslim town. No. That would be Mecca.
Oh, yeah.
In Yemen. I mean, in Saudi Arabia.
I was like, there's one in Yemen?
No.
There's just two.
So anyways,
it's like Joe's Pizza in New York. This is the real Mecca.
Yeah, exactly. Yo, pizza people be fucking, you can't buy a pizza from one place and then take it into another place, especially in Detroit.
I don't think you're supposed to buy food from another restaurant and take it into any restaurant.
Yeah, but when it comes to like pizza, man, oh.
How dare you?
Those Italians be getting pissed, man.
Fuck, you don't know good sauce.
I wish I was as passionate as about anything as like some Italians are about their fucking food. I mean, and rightfully so. It's delicious.
But it's all the same. It's like Mexican food. It's the same.
I've had pizza that wasn't as good as other pizza, but I've never had a piece of pizza and been like, puh.
Yeah.
This is garbage.
But pizza's American.
It's not an Italian thing.
It's an Italian-American invention.
I also heard that spaghetti was invented by China, so I don't know.
That too. That's what I heard. Like the, you know.
But I'm like, well, because there's sometimes when I'm eating like chow mein and I'm like, this is Chinese spaghetti.
100%.
Like, it's just a noodle thing. Yeah, like, of course it's good. Noodles are good.
Mm-hmm. I'm not a big fan of noodles, though.
Really? I love them.
I think I'm wasting time with them. It's like, where's the meat? You know what I mean? And we're just eating a bunch of fucking processed
carbs. But I'm a carb head.
Yeah, me
Wait,
too.
So your parents lived in Indonesia?
Yeah, they were born and raised there.
And then did they come to America before you were born? Or
yeah, my dad came here before. My dad was a skilled trade. So like,
what's
you know,
a skilled trade?
He had a skilled trade. He had a what they called a journeyman card, which proves to everyone around the world that you have a legit skill
that
trade.
You can bring some. But are you able to say what that skill was?
Killing people.
That sounds like not saying it. It sounds like a hired. He had a skill. He had a very specific set of skills.
Yeah. No, he was a millwright. So basically, a millwright is a type of like handyman who can fix just about anything. Like
That's awesome.
You know what I mean? Like
you mean he was a real man?
Yeah. So, but that got him to America. So that because you know if you could prove that you have a skilled trade, that gets you citizenship a lot faster because you're going to bring something to the country. Right?
I don't know much about Indonesia.
Mm.
Is life in Indonesia so rough? Or does America seem like this? It's like, maybe I just don't know how good we have it. The people going, we got to go to America. Yeah. What is that appeal? Is it like the concept of the American dream that we're all sold? Or do we just have way more rights than other places? What is it?
I mean, we do have a lot more freedom than a lot of other places. I mean, like when I go to Indonesia, like I'll be like, ripping on Obama and Trump and the Indonesians are just like they really like listening to that because
they're not allowed to talk about their government.
They can't. So then that's almost everywhere. And then when you're like talking about these Indonesians, I speak some Indonesian. These Indonesians would literally be like, "Wow, it's so nice that you can just do that.
Share your opinion.
Share your opinion."
So it's, I guess it's like the freedom to share your opinion is worth the risk of, let's say, racism.
Exactly.
That like. Yeah, I mean, I don't, because I feel like, especially back in those days, there would be the thought of, I don't really know how well received Muslims are in America.
Right.
I mean, because America, you know, has this foundation of the Christian, all the stuff that like people try to be like, that's America. And it's like, no, we're founded on religious freedom, you dipshit.
Yeah, but by a bunch of quote unquote impossible Christians.
Yeah, that's like, but we're one nation under God.
Yeah.
But it's God.
Yeah, but it's God.
So they came over here. So you were born here.
So my dad came here first, ended up working in the factories in Detroit, and then he went back to Indonesia, and I guess he met my mom and then convinced her to ruin her life and come to
Imagine,
Detroit.
It's like, we are going to America. I don't know what accent Indonesian is, and I can't do accents, and whatever I do is going to sound racist, so just pretend there's an accent, but just fucking Detroit. Mm. Like of all the, it's so funny the places people end up. They're like America, and then it's just like, Detroit. Oh, it's very violent here.
Yeah, I don't think it was easy for my mom. I think my mom said that she came and she was in Indonesia, surrounded by family and friends.
Just
and
like
she
a,
married this guy,
source.
And he takes her to this fucking cold. Dreary. She said when we came back, it was snowing and she like fell into this depression because she had no friends, no family. He was at work most of the day and she's cooped up in this fucking
communication
house.
Communication wasn't what it is now either. You can't just, you know, pick up and FaceTime. You can't.
Exactly.
Which I don't even, and even if you, even having access to that in Indonesia from Detroit, it's like the time zones and the, wow. And the other thing is that I think there is some sort of, and obviously I'm just saying this theoretically. I was born in Germany, but like I've lived in America since I was three. Like I'm used to American life. But I think even if there are rights and opportunities that are better for you in a new place, change is hard. Like, you do, there is some sort of a comfort in obviously having family and friends around, but like in your routine, even if it's not as good somewhere, I think the adjustment of, I could be wrong.
No,
the unfamiliar
right.
is like,
absolutely. I think that's why the first round of immigrants are the worst.
So funny. Children of immigrants always say that. They're like, no, they're so fucking hard on you. Like, yeah. The parents of, because they're like, no, you have to.
First generation is the worst.
Well, because
they're the ones that come in with their prejudices. You know, like in Detroit and in Dearborn, where I grew up, it's a huge community of Arabs. Because after Israel invaded Lebanon in 1981, the Lebanese had to get the fuck out of there, and a lot of them came to Detroit. And when they started moving into Detroit, what was the point that you just made? I completely forgot.
Just that, like, even if it's a better place to be, you're just not used to. You get used to whatever your
and
routine
is. First generation of like Lebanese and Yemenis that moved to Detroit, they were just racist and like, you know, like stupid about like stuff. you know what I'm talking about? And
well, they're just like, bringing their ideas.
They're bringing their ideas
that,
you know,
don't work in a melting pot.
Of course, not all of them, right?
Yeah, of course. Now,
my daughter's not dating a white guy.
Yeah,
my son is only gonna marry a Muslim. It was like really, and then that second generation is a little lax. It's like she's dating a white girl, and that third generation is like, Jewish girlfriend.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, fine.
Well, and I think that's, you know, in an ideal setting, that's where the world is headed, that we're all getting less and less prejudice as, you know, people cross border. Right. Well, it's also the unfamiliar, you know, if you're coming from a place where everyone is Muslim and all you hear is, you know, whatever propaganda about, if you only hear the negative things about America, you go, oh, well, you know, white people are racist. I don't want, that's scary. I don't want my kids to be going over to, you know, their boyfriend's house and them being subjected to the racism of their family. And it's like I think by and large, everyone, as misguided as people often are, especially older generations, they're trying to do what's best.
Sure.
It's just like fear.
Exactly.
And people, the unknown is fucking scary.
And that's
change
right.
is hard.
Hard. And I agree with you. It is hard. It is absolutely hard. Almost all change is hard. Even the good change is
when you know
hard.
It's good for you. Yeah. It's still like, fuck, you just, there's comforts in the known.
Yeah. It's kind of like how I'm pissed off I got an Android now.
Fucking idiot. That's on you, man. That was freedom of choice. Yeah. And you chose wrong.
And I fucked up.
This podcast brought to you by iTunes. But I'll keep saying that until you guys give me money. that's my new plan on my other podcast. We're like, let's just name sponsors and like blackmail them into.
Yeah.
We're not going to stop saying you're the sponsor until you give us money.
I hope that works out.
Silence money.
Yeah.
So you probably had like pretty strict parents, or did you grow up like strict Muslim?
Mm-hmm. How's this? I joined the Marine Corps to get away from my dad.
That's what I was going to be like. How the fuck did you end up? That's so the Marine Corps. Like
the Marine Corps was more fun.
Fuck.
Yeah, then hanging out with my dad. Yeah, my
God.
Dad was strict.
You're like, finally, some freedom.
Fucking yeah.
And the Marines are 100% that's the most tough.
That's like the
hardest branch of the, everyone knows that.
Yeah.
I mean, the Air Force is the butt of every joke. And it's like, this isn't fair. What about the Coast Guard? But like, Marines are, I did ROTC for 1 year in high school. And it was technically Navy ROTC, but the guy who ran the class, Master Gunny, fucking
Master
Marine
Gunny, yeah,
Corps.
Gunny,
he loved
for sure.
me, but he just liked me because I was just this feisty, tiny, and he's just like, Cindy Lou Who, and just fucking badass.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Just, he was literally reminded me sort of, it was like Stone Cold Steve Austin as a regular human. Just fucking balls.
Big
you know?
Neck, big neck.
Yes, fucking big bald head, just fucking, And it was like, that's just, like, I find it hard to believe anyone joins the Marines, like, without a little bit already being like, I want to fucking kill someone. Like, but maybe they just fucking, I don't know how boot camp works.
Well, some people join the Marines because they have to, like a judge ordered it.
Yeah, I had an uncle that fucking, you know, DUI'd his way into having to join the Navy.
Yeah, or some people, that's hilarious. And then some people
just want to serve the country.
Are trying to get citizenship. And they're from places that are like typically like, yo, this is not a, like Cuba. Like long, we had a Cuban guy in our platoon.
Oh, I didn't know that the military, that makes sense. But they'll go, you know, we don't usually let you guys in, but if you serve.
Well, yeah, it's kind of like if you serve, it's going to help. You know, I mean, supposed to help.
Fuck. I didn't know you could serve and not be a citizen.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that crazy?
That's, you know what's crazy? I did know, I heard that like, that countries that are territories that don't have all the rights of citizenship can join. But I also heard that it used to be like the, some of those islands we own, maybe like the Samoas or something.
Like Puerto Rico.
Yeah. And it's like, but I wonder, I think I heard about this, but I wonder if a draft is reinstated, like how that fucking, can you get drafted and you don't even have all the rights of a citizen? That's crazy.
Can I be absolutely honest? Yeah. I kind of hope the draft starts.
I have never denounced feminism more quickly than when people were like, oh, what if there's a draft? I was like, I'm not for equal rights. You leave me at home. I am fine. I will cook.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
I will take over your factory job if those are still a thing. Yeah. You get out there. I don't give a fuck.
Exactly, man.
Like, that's, I mean, but what you talk about, go ahead.
But sorry. What I'm saying is that I kind of wish that we kind of had the draft because it would force people to be like, why are we on all these wars? Yeah. Well, now nobody's questioning it, really.
What's easy to not think about it when you're not involved, you know?
Yeah.
It's easy to ignore the news if it's not, you know, your neighborhood isn't being blown up.
Exactly.
It's, as an American, it's like, all the wars are somewhere else.
Exactly.
And then you go, well, but I always am like, well, eventually it's got to come to us, right? Like,
I mean,
fucking, especially with technology nowadays, but I don't know.
I don't know. I hope not.
So the Marines.
Yeah.
I mean, that I joined the Marines to get away from it. Were you like, this is way, like, did having strict immigrant parents, do you think that made Marine Corps boot camp? You're like, this is, I'm fine.
Let me tell you how I was in boot camp. Okay.
Yes.
Guys were breaking down, crying in boot camp, stressed the fuck out. One kid almost got eaten up by an alligator, tried to swim off Paris Island. That's how that's how stressed he was.
Fuck.
And then they had to rescue him and bring him fucking back.
And then you're like, you're fucking gonna get more shit for that.
And these drill instructors are psychotic, and they're very good at psyops, and they're very good at getting in your fucking head and creeping you out and scaring you and breaking you down by doing push-ups and like torturing you with exercise and really fucking breaking you down. And I swear to God, I was the only one in the platoon that had to keep biting my tongue because I couldn't stop laughing.
Whoa.
Because to me, because
it's so crazy, you're like,
To me, it's like, you're not my dad. This only goes for 3 months. After this, I'm in the fleet and I get to do whatever I want to do.
And I'm going to be fucking ripped. I really think there is something to the way they do that. Like, there is something about trauma bonding, too, that brings you closer to the people that you're going to fucking, you've been through shit already and now you're going to war.
Yes.
Like, you when you go through hazing, I assume, I've never been hazed. I was really bummed to find out my sorority wouldn't do it. But like, you just bond to someone,
yes,
way more, which is part of the reason I think they do it.
We're hardwired for that.
Yeah,
we're hardwired to need other people.
Absolutely.
But now, like, where that wiring is being fucked up in this society where we don't need to rely on anybody anymore.
Yeah, don't ask for help.
Like with our phones, man, I'm thinking it's going to get to a point where questions are going to be a thing of the past. Like, no human's going to ever ask another human a question
anymore.
That's
part of the reason I started the podcast, is that people are so embarrassed to fucking ask anything. And it's like, I just don't, you know, what if they disagree? What if they think I'm stupid?
Exactly.
I don't know. And it's like, I'm not the kind of person that says there's no stupid questions. There are stupid questions, but it's like, and that's why they're stupid people. Ask the fucking questions so you're not so stupid anymore.
Exactly.
Stupid.
That's ego though.
I mean, true. When did you join? What year did you join the Marines?
95.
So this is pre-9/11.
Oh yeah.
Damn.
I got out in 99.
Oh, good move.
Yeah. What? Yeah. Wait.
Why, did you know something that we didn't know? No. Was that like, was the Gulf War still going or was that done?
The Gulf War was done. So I was in during the Clinton administration.
So it was kind of like,
I always tell everybody the most dangerous thing I saw was a hurricane.
That's so funny.
It was very lucky. There was a good time. It was a good time to be in the military if you just wanted to get the skills and get away from your dad.
That's great.
Yeah.
Did you have any trouble, like, as a Muslim? Did you get any, like, flack for that?
Let me tell you something.
Because there's stuff more recently where people have been like, there's a guy who got, like, hazed to death.
Well, the thing is that now the climate is way different than before. Before, Arabs were still sort of like,
it was just like, we just don't know.
No, we were still the butt of every, like, terrorist joke. Like, after the whole...
Yeah, I guess especially with military people, because they're...
Yeah, and like, you know, the media,
the media
is really good at vilifying who we need to vilify at the moment.
The media, right? The news doesn't exist without a villain. They have to make somebody
exactly.
A villain.
So like for all the 80s, you know, ever since like Israel had to invade Lebanon and then the Lebanese fought back by creating Hezbollah, all of a sudden every Lebanese person is a Hezbollah agent, and you know, so it's like it's the media really knows how to paint a boogeyman. But at the time that I joined the military, yeah, we were kind of the boogeyman in the news, but we weren't Osama bin Laden boogeyman on the news.
Dude,
so
I mean, they made fucking, I mean, they made, especially people who watch like Fox News, which after 9/11.
Yeah.
Fucking.
It was dark for me.
Yeah. Was that?
It was really hard. That was really hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What, like?
That was hard. It really broke me down.
Like, where were you? Where were you when the world stopped turning?
Yeah. I was managing an oil change in a very podunk suburban part of Detroit, like 40 minutes out of Detroit, a place called Walled Lake. And it's like very white and Jewish in this area.
Oh.
And we were a bunch of Arabs that were like running this oil change in the middle of this very white Jewish community. And they would always come in and stuff like that. And then we would always be busy.
Yeah.
And then I remember I was like cashing somebody out. And all of a sudden, my boss came out of his office to go into the TV room. And as he passed me by, he whispered, "A plane hit the World Trade Center." And I was like, "What?" And you know what's the first thing I noticed?
What?
This is like, it didn't dawn on me. And then all of a sudden, I like cashed the guy out, right? And he drove off and I looked. And not only was there no line, the entire street was empty.
Whoa.
Not one car passed. It was like everything stopped.
Fucking, that's so interesting. Because like,
everything,
because people are just glued to the TV probably. Well, like, going it, like,
but in that moment I haven't even looked at the TV yet. All yeah. I know is that it's like, whoa. It's like that movie in the Matrix, where Keanu Reeves did the Devil's Advocate.
Oh.
And then at the end of the movie he walks out in the middle of New York and there's like no life.
Dude, anytime, even just like LA at Christmas is haunting.
Yes, I love it though.
It's great. You can drive across town, so you're like, yeah. Oh, this is what it'd be like if everyone just accepted their dreams weren't gonna come true. Yeah. Fucking God, go home.
Exactly.
But like, yeah, I was in Alaska and I was still in high school and it was so early. So my friend called me and was like, "They're bombing the world," you know, already misinformation. But like, and my first period was ROTC and we went in and they like talked about it and fucking so weird. I remember my mom, like her work shut down because she works for the government and they're like just sent everybody like home. And
it's a dark day.
But it was so early for me that I feel like my experience, I mean, there's a million reasons my experience is skewed, but it was like, the idea that people were at work, because it was fucking like 6 a.m. where I was, and like, just like, what's happening? Fuck.
Yeah.
I think that's part of the reason I got out of ROTC. I was like, this was fun when I didn't think there was
going to be a war.
Now
it's too close to home. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I was like, I don't want to, like, yeah. I'm not interested in a scholarship.
You're smart.
Yeah. No, I was like, yeah, no, I did the ASVAB. Excuse me. I don't want to, I'm not interested in whatever you're offering.
Right.
Fucking, did you notice any shift? Like any, like an immediate shift in like your treatment or how people looked at you?
So first let me tell you, like when I came and saw what happened, like when I came in the room, you have all these older Lebanese guys that work. So I was sort of the manager. I was basically the mouthpiece.
Yeah.
I was the guy that did all the selling.
Yeah.
And all the Arabs that couldn't barely speak English, they went downstairs and did the oil
work.
They
just fucking let me do the work.
So now you got all these older, like, you know, Lebanese guys that are like sitting there crowded around the TV. And I look and it's already like one building is on fire. And I remember I was like, the fuck, that pilot was smoking crack. How the fuck did
you
miss that?
Well, yeah, because I remember initially they were like, oh, they thought it was like a freak accident.
Yeah, right.
Then to me, that enough was like, we're just having pilots like crash into buildings.
Exactly, exactly. And then I remember we were sitting there and we were like, what the fuck? We're talking, we don't know. The news doesn't know, whatever. And then on the wide shot, it was like,
you just see the other.
Boom. And we were like,
to see that live is fucking.
And the
I just saw the aftermath. I didn't even think about someone watching it happen on the TV.
No, I saw it happen. And then I swear to God, when that second plane hit, that's when I was like, oh, this is an attack.
Yeah.
And then I was like, please don't be Arab. Please don't be Arabs. Please don't be Arabs. Please don't be Arabs. That's the first thing. And then I'm sitting there and I'm a Marine and I'm flipped out. So now I'm
fucking going into
pissed.
Like patriot fucking my country.
And I'm already out of the Marine Corps already now for like 2 years and I'm still 2 years inactive, meaning they can activate me again. Fuck. And I was just calling the duty station going, what the fuck? Can we go now? Can we go now? I'm like getting fucking angry. And then one of the buildings falls down. And then when that other building fell down, I was the only one in the room flipping out, screaming at the fucking TV. It was one of those things where you wanted to go in there and just fucking stop it, you know?
Yeah.
And I was so fucking angry.
God, that emotion of like, I can't do anything.
And I was so fucking mad. And then I remember I looked around and all these Lebanese guys were just like not giving a shit. And I remember I fucking lost it on them. I'm like, well, you guys don't fucking give a shit. All these fucking people dying. And I fucking flipped out and I walked out and I came back in and I started screaming some more. And then the second building went down. And then fuck. I was just like livid and I was losing my mind and I was turning it on them for them just being so deadpan, not doing anything. And that,
I mean, that amount of emotion too, it's like spewing out of you.
And then I had like this moment where I sat down and one of the old Lebanese guys came up to me and he's like, you want us to get mad for what? That happens to us every day in Lebanon. He goes, I'm here because of that shit. And he goes, and he literally told me, he goes, I feel bad for what's happening, but a part of me feels like you guys got a taste of your own medicine. And I was like, that was really dark. So then after that, it was like, that's when I realized, fuck, man, now I'm not a Marine anymore. Now I'm just a fucking terrorist that needs to prove to everyone that I'm a Marine.
Yeah. Did you feel like in the time soon after, did you do anything actively to almost like overcompensate, or did you feel like you had to like go out of your way to be extra polite to people or like hang an American flag on your car?
That is the thing that really so for example, there was this Yemeni guy that ran a gas station next to my house. Okay.
Shit.
And he's a really cool Yemeni guy. And he had really thick accent and, you know,
you're
short,
so fun and
bald guy. He's always like, okay, right. And I swear to God, I went back to that gas station after 9/11. And then when you went in the gas station, he has this like, you know, he's in the counter and there's bulletproof glass all around him. Right.
Yeah.
I walked in there and every inch of the
it's covered in American flags.
And then, hold on. And then every day you'd go in there, he had a different America shirt.
That's
every day was a different America shirt. And he was and he'd be like, my friend, hey, what are you? Hey, you know?
Fuck. Because you're like, I got to let everyone know. Yeah. That's not me.
Yeah. That's what got me to comedy, though.
Really?
So that's how I was my coping mechanism. My coping mechanism was.
Can I joke about this? How can I fucking make it?
Like I ended up taking an improv class, and then when I took the improv class, that's when I learned. I was like, whoa, you can use comedy to teach things.
Yeah. And heal. It's like you can do it at the same time.
Exactly. And then I just became addicted to it, because to me it was like, if I'm gonna have to be public enemy number one, then I'm gonna find a way to make them laugh about it.
Yeah.
You know, and I want to see if I can, like, because it was a coping mechanism. It's like there was never a moment in time where I needed to hear confirmation of laughter of things that I find funny that they also find funny.
No, I mean, there's a reason. And I don't think you have to be like terribly, you know, fucked up to do comedy. But like the comedy comes from pain. It is like,
yeah,
because there are certain things that are so out of your control that you just go, I don't have an option here. All I can do is try to find a way to spin it in my brain that I can make it absurd, or like look at something and be like, how ridiculous is this fucking thing that we do?
Exactly.
To, you know, try to overcompensate.
To try to laugh about it is the best way to go about it, so long as you're not really like trying to ignore what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, and also that's the thing that I feel like gets lost nowadays is that like, yeah, I can joke about something horrible and still know that it's terrible.
Amen.
But that it's like the people get mad at you for joking, and then it's like, okay, well, what are you doing to help it?
Exactly.
Nothing either?
Nothing.
But you're mad that I'm making, are you getting mad helping the situation?
What you're doing is you're implying you don't think about this, and you're going to just joke about it in the most ridiculous fashion, and people who are smart enough know that's hilarious. You don't think like that.
No, it's like,
but people don't do that, you know.
Well, people also want to jump.
Not
on
people.
Anything.
It's like we say some people.
People's general, but there are like, you know, small sects of people that want to just get angry about the little things, and it's like, I get it too. If you're like consumed in the news, especially if it's something that directly affects you, it's harder to laugh.
Yeah.
But it's almost to me more important.
Yeah, to me too. I mean, I think I became a comedian at first because my mom and dad had a horrible marriage. All they would do is fucking fight. Like it was,
were they arranged? Is that a thing?
Not kind of, sort of. I'll explain it later.
Coerced.
But it was like, I have a little sister, and I remember whenever like the parents would be fighting, man, the way I described it was kind of like as a kid, it was almost as if when they were hating each other, it's like they sucked the color out of the world.
Wow.
Everything
That's
felt dark and
such
dreary.
A great description, though, of like watching, especially parents, that it's like the ray of sunshine and support in your life that like a family unit's supposed to be. It's so dark. There's no better way to paint that picture, in my opinion.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, but I mean, like, and then I would always try to make my sister laugh.
Yeah,
in those
that's
moments,
okay.
You
yes.
know? And entertainer or fucking whatever. Or Fuck. This, that, so that we could have this little party over here.
So relatable.
While
let's
this
forget
fucking
about
shit
this.
Is exactly.
We've got each other. Let's
exactly.
fucking... Hey,
yeah, let's make fun of dad. I'm going to make fun of dad while he's yelling. Bah, bah, you know,
I mean, deeply relatable. I was the same way with my brother, just like fucking being ridiculous while we're locked in our rooms because they're fucking, let's just fucking go over here. And
exactly.
Like, they're just going to scream. So let's just play a silly game.
Yeah.
Like try to make each other laugh. We literally would do, there was a show on Comedy Central called Make Me Laugh.
Yeah.
And it's a show where like at the time, like comedians would. Tried.
I think I remember
make
that.
Each other laugh.
Yeah, they make each other
laugh.
I think is what it was. I think it was each other. You had to make other comedians laugh.
Yeah, yeah. And me and my brother would just do that. We'd take turns just fucking going as ridiculous as possible. But it, yeah, you don't realize at the time that you're like coping with something. You're just a kid.
You're
you know?
Just a kid.
You don't know how to process shit.
Well, yeah. Like we would come up with games too. Like me and her would come up with this game where it's like she would have to hum a tune, not have to try to figure out what
yeah.
that song is, you know? But it's just ways to like escape
distract.
This shit.
Yeah, it's like, how can we get away from this? Because we can't physically get away from
100%.
It. 100%. Absolutely.
And you're right. At a young age, you have no idea it's a coping mechanism.
No, and you also don't know...
That you're developing skills.
Yeah, no. Or that you're being traumatized.
That too,
like,
yeah.
That this is actually going to be a thing later that you're going to have to deal with.
Right.
And,
right.
And also, it's like, there's something to the fact that, like, not knowing, like, what, like, is this is just what parents do? Or,
yes.
like... Yes. Like... You don't know that other people aren't dealing with that or
but you
that,
do start learning it a little bit.
Of
I know,
course.
I know that like it was like there was like a moment. I forget how old I was, but it was a moment when I realized how fucked up my parents are.
Yeah.
And it was when I was at another friend's house and I saw his parents and how cool they were
and they
how
got
relaxed
along.
They were and they weren't breathing down his neck and like we were able to do what we wanted and they trusted us over it and
yeah
they were very nice. They talked to me like I was an adult as opposed to like talking down
like
to
you
me.
Were a fucking idiot,
you know what
oh,
I mean,
game changer.
And then that's when I was like, yo, there's a better way to do this.
Yeah,
my parents are not doing that.
Yeah, they're like, boy, they aren't going about this poorly.
Yeah.
Do they know?
I know.
I want to talk a little bit about the Muslim stuff. Do you still identify, like, as a Muslim? Like,
I identify as a Muslim to people who are not Muslim.
Okay.
But to people who are Muslim...
You're not Muslim enough?
I feel like I owe it to them to be honest. And I owe...
So you go, I haven't really practiced the religion or...
Yeah. I like to let my family know. Like I was very brave and I told my family I don't really believe in Islam anymore. I eat bacon and stuff like that and...
How was that?
It was good, man. You know what's great is when you realize why you're the good. You ever like you have good qualities, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes you wonder where it came from, and
yeah.
then it's like when I came out to my family.
God, having to come out about eating
that
bacon.
I didn't believe in Islam the way they did. They instead of ridiculing me, just had. Questions and were curious
yeah.
and they wanted to know why, and then they kept asking more questions, and at the end I remember my one little cousin was like, yo man, thank you for being so honest, you know, because we got closer because
well yeah and
it.
Then realizing that people will still love you,
but what I'm saying is that's when I was like, man, I'm cut from the same cloth.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
They're like, oh, it's these like, are good people, and
they're
like, I have a moral compass.
They're with it like me.
Yeah,
you know?
The reason I'm curious, which led me to maybe go away from my religion,
right.
comes from this group of people who just like want to understand.
Yeah.
That's really fascinating.
And it was good. It was a good feeling to know that they weren't going to look down on me like that. You know, it was a good feeling. But so like to you, or like if I'm doing comedy, it says, yeah, I tell people I'm Muslim because it gives people an idea of what my upbringing was like.
And like culturally.
Where I come from.
Yeah. Is there anything from your religion that you kind of like took with you still, or?
Oh man, honestly, you know what the best thing about Islam is? Like, I don't really believe in religion that much, but there's certain things.
Organized religion's like fuck to me.
Yeah, but there's things about these religions that are really good.
Absolutely.
And those things are the ones that need to be grasped onto. There's just these other things that are like, yo, what? It contradicts this thing.
It's just like the red tape of like, why with the specific rules sometimes. But I think the core of most major religions is great.
I do too.
Love one another.
Yeah.
You know, do the right thing, essentially.
Yeah, it was early humans' ways of saying, yo, can we stop being monkeys?
Well, no, it's like,
can we just do better?
I really think a lot of organized religion was like, we don't know how to get people to stop killing each other. Mm-hmm. So let's just like make up that most bad things gonna happen.
Lewis Black was just like, they had to write down rules. They had to be like, you, no more fucking goats.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But it's like, but what was your question, though? It was,
did you take anything from it?
My favorite thing about Islam, and I kind of wish everybody, aside from being Muslim, do this, especially with their kids, is Ramadan.
Oh, the fasting.
Ramadan, I swear to God, is probably...
Or is there more to it? Sorry, I'll let you talk.
Ramadan is like, I think, one of the best tools to teach young people and people in general empathy. Because like Ramadan is supposed to be people who have money are going to show solidarity with those who are poor.
Yeah. It's like you're fasting.
So you're fasting to get the idea of understanding how good you really have it and how you have, so that at the end of Ramadan, you're supposed to give like 10 or 15% of your income that year to charity.
Yeah.
And it's just a time to like really go, wow.
Reflect and
I took for granted the fact that I could just drink water anytime I wanted.
Yeah.
My dad used to fucking troll me, man. My dad was like, cause I hated broccoli and shit. And like, I remember one time I came home and it was like, we were fasting during the summer solstice. So the sun wouldn't go down till like 10.
Dude, I had a few Muslim friends when I lived in Alaska and the sun doesn't fucking set.
You see what I'm saying?
And I'm like, good God.
That's what I'm saying. So like we're there, I'm waiting for the sun to go down. And I remember my dad, like, I'm like waiting for the sun to go down. I was like looking out the window. And my dad steams broccoli, butters it, puts salt and garlic on it, and then throws it in front of me. And he's like, wow, imagine. Man, when you like broccoli right now.
Because
I hated it so much.
What a gift. What a blessing.
And like it really.
That's so fucked, but also like.
But it's great. Like it made me realize like, oh,
appreciate
dude, I'm like,
oh,
broccoli. Fucking broccoli. It's like, now I'm like, yo, that broccoli looks amazing.
What a gift. I mean, that's how I still am, is that like, yeah, I can eat vegetables if I'm starving and you put it in front of me.
Exactly. Right.
So that's why I just starve myself. So I'll eat more vegetables.
So I guess that's one thing I take from it, you know?
Do you still do Ramadan?
No, but I'm thinking I might do it this year. Just because of its health benefits. There's
it reminds
like a lot
you,
of,
fasting is very good for your health.
Yeah, it gives your body a time to purge bullshit cells.
Yeah, it recharges. Out. They say if you fast for 72 hours, your body like completely sheds, like it resets your cells from like.
It's called cell autophagy.
Yeah, it regenerates like your original DNA cells. Right. So they're like not fucked with.
It purges the shitty cells and replaces them with healthier ones.
I've tried to do it.
Yeah, I got to do the 72 hour.
Yeah, that's fucking hard though.
I haven't done it yet.
I haven't found a clear article on like what constitutes fasting in this instance. Like, can I have water? Can I have small amount of calories?
There's different fasts. There's dry fast, there's wet fast. But I highly suggest if you're going to fast, then just water and coffee is like really the only thing you could have.
Yeah, I should do a fast. My body needs something.
Yeah.
Fuck.
We old, yo.
For sure. I mean, you're like so old.
Fuck you.
I mean, you were in the military when I was like kindergarten. That's crazy.
I'm going to push you into traffic.
When did you realize that you didn't believe in all the religious stuff?
Oh, wow.
Was it in the Marines, before the Marines?
No, I really think I at a very young age, just had a problem with Islam. And I think I had a problem with Islam early on because my parents really sucked at being parents. Like, they didn't, I take that back. They're really good parents in handing down morals and being good to people. My mom and dad had the same disposition on how we should raise the kids, you know? So that's, it's not like they were fighting too much over that type of stuff.
Yeah. Which is helpful, I'm sure.
What? Yeah.
At least in decreasing fighting.
Right.
If you're on the same page.
What was just talking about? I guess I tried.
When did you realize that you didn't believe in? You said when you were a little
kid. So it was very early. I think it started when I was like 13, 14 years old.
That's when most people at least start questioning.
Yeah. And then I went.
Or earlier even.
It might have been earlier than that. But then I think it was early. I think now that I think about it, I might have been like 11 or 12. Either way, we went to the mosque and we had to sit through a sermon. And the sermon was in Arabic. And my, you know, I'm fucking bored to death. Like, the whole time I'm sitting there, I'm like, I can't wait for this fucking thing to be over.
Yeah, like, ugh.
And then we get out and my dad was like, do you know what he was talking about, Mike? And I'm like, no, I don't speak Arabic, you know? And he was like, well, he was talking about a very important story in the Quran and in the Bible. He goes, it's the story of where God comes to Abraham and tells Abraham, if you love me, show me. By taking your firstborn son atop this mountain and beheading him.
Yeah. And he almost does it.
And then he almost does it. And the last minute, God replaced it with a goat.
Yeah.
And then he goes, and then he was like, and he goes, you see, that's how much we're supposed to love God. And honestly, after that, I just had nothing but questions.
Yeah, because it's like, who does that?
Why is he a creepy fucking asshole?
What it's the also fuck like is that? We're created in God's image, but like, don't ever question God. Mm-hmm. So it's like, but you get to question us? Like, what are you fucking? And also, like, the fact that people the idea that people are created in God's image, it's like, well, I've met people, so God can't be that great.
Yeah.
No, that shit is like, even if he's real, I'm like, that's the guy we're supposed to worship? He's like,
no.
What kind of God asked you to kill your son?
How is that the all-knowing? That's what he's going to do. Like, yo, dude, do this one thing. Ha, 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 jokes.
Yeah, like, it's like, what? God's a sicko.
He's a prankster. What the hell is that shit?
That's what I think, too, though. He's like, yeah, he's just like a bored kid. Like, war.
He's like a baby.
I picture him as like a very disorganized man who keeps falling asleep at his desk. Like, just like overwhelmed, and he's like, oh shit, oh bomb, oh mother, I've lost control. He's just got like prayers keep stacking up, and he's like,
I'm checking out.
And that's why people like, he answered my prayers. It's the same as getting booked by a comedy. Just every once in a while, he's like, you know what, I'm gonna get to a couple of these.
Yeah.
Ah, fuck.
Yeah.
It's so just fascinating.
Yeah.
Have you gone to Indonesia or Yemen?
Yeah, man. I love Indonesia. I love it.
Yeah.
Not Yemen. Never been to Yemen.
It's probably not like.
And that right now is not a good time. I'm so pissed, man. I'm so pissed that I missed it. I could have fucking went before the stupid war happened.
Yeah. Do you get, as someone who, you know, is, you know, of a Muslim culture, do you get nervous traveling outside the US about, I don't know if this is crazy, about like, what if I can't come back?
Because
fucking, I don't know.
Of the way I look?
Yeah, like if Trump was just like, no. Like, does that ever cross your mind?
I would love for that to happen.
Yeah.
I think that would really get...
Because they stopped letting some countries come in.
That would, yeah, right now there's a whole thing by the a group of Iranian Americans went to Vancouver for an Iranian pop concert, and then on the way back, they were detained and questioned and confiscated their passports and asked what religions they were and asked them what political affiliations they had and wouldn't let them in the country. And some of them, they turned away. And it's
that's
like,
fuck. And they were citizens?
Mm-hmm. Citizens, American citizens. It's hard to imagine. I know.
It's just like, I know that we do have it relative to other places. Very good. But before
I say anything, like, I just saw that on the internet. I didn't do any research. I don't know if it's fucking real or not.
Yeah,
you know,
well, that's it. Oh, that's the fuck thing about the internet. It's like, there's so much information, but it's like, yeah, but it's not all real.
Yeah, you never
and
know.
You don't know what fucking things to trust.
Exactly.
And the media skews shit for clicks.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, is there any news source that's just right down the middle news that it's like, we're not going to try to pander to this audience or that audience?
That's what podcasts are doing.
Yeah, and it's like, the accessibility to do your own thing is still, like, even just doing this, like, this obviously isn't news, but like getting to just share someone's individual experience and that people can access that. I do go, like, slippery slope though, when they do those, that fucking, you know, the laws where they're regulating the internet and it's like, how long till now? Oh, you know, it's like, and granted, I go down rabbit holes of like the conspiracy theory mindset, but like how long before, you know, they're just blocking, shadow banning podcasts, or like they listen to your podcast and then they start like, I mean, I go full blown like Holocaust, like they start coming for you because of something you said.
It can happen.
I mean, was it you joking about like, hey, maybe Trump will still be president in 2024?
Yeah. And I said Trump infinity.
Yeah. And it's like, fucking, it's like, ha ha ha. But then you're like, oh my fucking God. Well, I mean, when you realize how quickly like Russia infiltrated, I mean, so many elections, but then you go like, oh, this shit's real.
I don't know. It's really,
but I don't know how much is real and how much is.
I hear the arguments that are good about it's not real. And I hear the arguments that it is real. I don't know what to believe.
Well, yeah,
anymore.
No. But then it's just like, even as someone who should identify as a liberal based on my beliefs, I'm like, I fucking don't trust the government enough to identify as anything.
I mean, same here. That's where I'm at.
You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, I'm going to fucking fight for everyone's like social, civil safety rights. I'm here for you. But like, I don't want to fucking put my name down as like, this is my party.
Yeah.
And then
I don't believe
the way either anyone who's an extremist on either side will just gloss over the bad shit that their party has done.
Yeah.
Cause like the ideals of someone I understand, but like the fucking corporate part of the Democratic Party, like the, when people are like, as a like sarcastic response to Trumpers, people will go, oh, but her emails. And it's like, yeah, okay, it's dead. But like, also like, you're not creeped out about the email thing like at all.
Yes.
Like we're not, a bunch of computers got smashed and you're just going to go, okay. And it's like, what? That shit's scary.
But that's the oldest trick in the book, isn't it? It's just to get people to put their superficial...
make people feel like they have to belong to something.
They have to belong to
people
something.
People are more concerned with fitting in than anything else. People don't want to feel isolated.
I know. But people also like the confrontation of my group versus your group.
Yeah. Well, it's literally, though, at this point, Paul, it's like, to me, being like, I'm a Democrat, hardcore, till I die. Yeah. I give money to the Democratic Party. I'm like, you might as well just be a Packers fan.
For real.
They're just like, I will die. Like, with the way things go back and forth, it's like, you don't question anything about it on either party, you
just
know?
It's easy, though.
That
that's
it's
the
like,
thing.
And I have so many family members that are like, I'm a Republican. I'll always be a Republican. And I'm like, there's not a little bit where you go like, I'm a little upset that they did that.
Yeah.
You'll just gloss over that because, like, what, abortion you think is the end of the world?
Well, it's like people have the ability to personalize a politician's actions.
Yes.
So, for example, it's like, I back Trump. Therefore, now my name is stamped to Trump.
Yeah.
Therefore, I don't want to talk about the bullshit he's doing.
My ego isn't going to let me.
No
way. I don't want to go talk about the fucking terrible shit that he's doing.
Exactly, because I'm focused on the shit that he's doing.
Well, look at the jobs.
Exactly.
They
put their own personal ego.
They invest in something.
Yeah, which is so weird.
Well, when it's not just politics, we do it with, we have this like hero culture. We do it with celebrities.
What do you mean like by hero culture?
Well, I mean that it's like someone goes, I love this, I'm a fan of this person.
Yeah.
And I mean the people that fucking are still defending Cosby.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And all of it that like, and I get that you can, in theory, you know, like Michael Jackson, you can, I guess, separate the art from the artist, but it's like, you're going to fucking fight people over saying a pedophile should go to jail or like, I mean, but like.
No, I know what you're saying.
R. Kelly stuff.
Yeah.
Because people, when they like someone, they just put them on this pedestal. Yep. And it's like, now, and it's not fair to the person either, the individual, because it's like, in theory, you or I. You know, or you, if our career blows up, or you just look at like someone like Joe Rogan, that it's like now because you've been like, he's the coolest. Now he's supposed to live up to this standard of being a great human because you decided you like his podcast.
Right.
And now it's like, now if he says anything wrong, it's like, he's a problem because, because more people hear him and he voiced a curiosity that isn't politically correct. Mm-hmm. It's.
Or not politically correct to you.
To you, because it doesn't fit in your box of what is okay. And so many people, it astounds me how many people identify as progressive. that cannot even like have the empathy to understand why someone would think differently.
Amen.
You know, to go like, amen. I don't agree with you, but I guess I get how if I was in your position, if I grew up on a farm and we're barely getting by, it's like, because I have friends who are filthy, rich Democrats.
Okay.
Who don't understand how someone could vote Republican purely from an economical tax standpoint. And to me,
how can they not?
And it's like,
so weird.
Well, because they've never been like, I grew up in a house where my mom getting a couple, a few more, and like, especially if you live in a poor state like Mississippi, which is where I lived as a kid. Yeah, no, getting a few hundred dollars back on your tax return does change some lives. Like, if you have enough money that like a couple hundred bucks doesn't matter to you, count your fucking blessings.
Amen.
And it's okay that you can go, okay, but like,
that was easy for me.
And it's like, and still like, that's a poor, you know, maybe those people who are that poor don't, you know, and they don't realize how much of their own interests they're voting against, because there is that mindset of, oh, this is temporary, or I got to pull myself up by my bootstraps, and which is
unfortunate.
Or they
are aware of those things, but the little thing that they need the most
right now
matters.
It's like
the most.
Yeah, it's like, I get that, you know, welfare could help, you know, or socialized medicine, but like right now, I don't know how I'm going to fucking feed my kids.
Exactly. Or I need healthcare, or, you know, or whatever.
Yeah, that's like, it's easy, and it's a fucking blessing to have, to be, you know, financially secure enough that you can worry about the group. That's a blessing.
Yeah.
Versus like when you're struggling, it's like,
no.
I have to keep my kids alive.
Amen.
I don't have time to worry about society.
I can't be turning on the news to get stressed.
And I will always vote for the group, even in, I'm not in a position to fucking, I'm financially, as an artist who's just coming up, in a position where I should be like fucking me to survive. So it's like, I have a mindset of the whole, but I understand how like a single parent or like what in the middle of nowhere.
Because you have empathy.
Yeah.
You're able to walk a mile in someone else's shoes and at least go, okay, I don't agree with you, but man, I have a bird's eye view wide enough to know why you would feel
that
way.
And it's like, where can we find a resolution for both? It's like, that's where we should work.
Maybe
from.
There's not no overall resolution,
well,
but what needs
nothing.
To happen is there needs to be a conversation.
Exactly.
And the conversation needs to be non-confrontational. The conversation needs to be, yo, this is what I feel. No, this is what I feel. Interesting.
Yeah.
Why do you feel that? Well, you want to know why I feel this? And we just have that discussion.
Well, because especially with like being able to be behind a computer and stuff, it's easy to dehumanize. See someone as other.
Easily.
Well, and that's also even with this podcast. And like, granted, I have a lot of people on who are like, yeah, we, you know, mostly have the same opinions on a lot of the big issues. But it's like, I won't do this not face to face. Because I don't want, when I have a question that probably is the opposite of how someone feels, or like they say something that I'm like, I don't understand. Or I don't want to lose that human
connection. The context.
Yeah, I don't want you to forget that it's like, hey, I don't actually understand that. Or like, I don't agree with that.
Yeah.
It's just so interesting that people can be closed-minded and call themselves progressive. I think that's just an interesting term we use.
I know what you mean, because I think when I think progressive, I think critical thinker.
Yeah, open-minded.
Open-minded, wants to break away from the paradigm of this not thinking about anything and being more progressive.
And that label
you
has
would
become
think a progressive person would be someone who would be like, yo man, I'm pro-choice, but I get how someone can be pro-life.
Yeah, like, I understand,
right?
Well, especially like it's also like, how can you care so much about animals and not understand how someone could be pro-life?
Amen.
Or like it, and then I go like, the people who are pro-life for religious reasons, it's like, I don't subscribe to their religion. I don't believe in that. But I'm like, these people are genuinely afraid of the wrath of God.
Amen.
Like, and they're just not there. That's their mindset. That's where they're at. You don't understand. Because I'm pro-choice till the day I kill 800 babies, whatever. But like, I will never be the person to argue in favor of pro-choice by saying it's not murder. Because I'm like, No, I think it is.
It is.
I think,
come on.
But I think if anything is living in my body, I should be able to murder it.
Well, like, there's that. There's that. Listen, there's that. There's that. Oh shit! I forgot what I was gonna say. Go ahead.
Oh no! I don't know. It's hard that in the, it just, it honestly impresses me a little that someone can just commit to a full, this is it, this is right. And like, you don't ever like go like, oh, well, I could see how someone would think.
I know.
That progressive is a label for people who nowadays, by and large, want to like censor what people say.
Yeah. And that's sad too.
Is that it's like, you know, it's like the last thing, by the way, I want to do is censor someone's hate speech, because I want to know that you hate people.
Yes. Because I want to know how you think.
Yeah, because it's like you telling someone not to say bad things about trans people isn't going to make them not hate trans people. You're just not going to know. Exactly. And that's the person who explodes one day because they're like, why can't I fucking ask my questions? And it's like, yeah, I don't agree with what they're saying, but I want to know which one of my neighbors is like, but you can't trust the brownies, right?
You know, you know what, like, else what? I want to know? I want to know that I can be very friendly and have something in common with someone who doesn't think politically like me.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to find those too. That's what I like try to want to reach out. Like when I started doing comedy in the early 2000s and I was doing improv at the Second City, there was this, who's now my longtime friend, this conservative kid from Indiana who moved to Detroit because he wanted to get into Second City. And instead of going to Chicago, he went to Detroit. And it's a close-minded white kid, like super Republican.
Probably small town, Indiana, and is very white.
And guess what everybody did at that time? We just embraced him as an improviser.
Yeah.
We just embraced him. We never shut him down. He was still our friend.
Yeah.
We just would all be like, what the fuck? Why does he fucking vote for Bush? Or, you know, like
what,
whatever.
Weird ass fucking.
But my thing is that throughout the whole time knowing this guy, I was drawn to him because to me, dude, if your people are supposed to be my enemy, I want to find the human in you.
Yeah.
I want to find what makes you tick. I want to know why you think this way. Why do you think that this 9/11, why we're invading Iraq is a good thing and this and that? And do you even empathize with brown people because you come from Indiana? And
like, it's like, do you understand where the mindset is of white, like, people who are, I don't know. But
and then what happens? Now we've been friends for 20 years and he lives in LA now and he still considers himself a conservative, but he's pushed more to the center, close to
absolutely
the left.
Which I think happens to anyone who gets out in the world.
And opens their mind.
Yeah, who's willing to hear someone.
And engage other people. So it's not like he's not a conservative anymore, but now he's a conservative that's like, fuck Trump.
Yeah.
You know what
he's
I'm saying?
He's not a fucking, like a nut job.
He's not a nut job. But when he was, and he even looks back when he was younger, he was like, yo, man. He's like, my brain. But then he'd be like, you were where I came from. That's all you know.
That's all you knew. And everything skewed to fit what you know. And it's like, also just living in a town like that, even if you thought it, like, even if you were like, I don't agree with all this, you're then isolating yourself. And that's hard to be the town liberal. People are gonna be like, that kook job. It's like, no, I don't want to fucking lose all my friends. Cause I'm like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's
weird. Like, we need to get back to the days where people don't just lose their shit
or
because
write someone off.
That's what I mean.
One little part of their identity.
Yes. No more redemption. Yeah. We don't give people redemption anymore. Nobody can like sit there and be like, yo, that was me. And I, like 10 years ago, but I'm here to tell you now, fuck that guy.
It's
10
also
years
like,
ago.
You're not, yeah, you're not giving people the grace to grow.
Exactly.
That anyone could just be like, that's, well, if you did it once, that's who you are deep down.
Like you saw that, remember that Kevin Hart tweet about this kid was gay or whatever.
And they got it. They lost him the Oscars thing.
Right. But here's the thing, though. Honestly, people like me and you saw that, saw when it was done and was like, yo, that time was a different time.
Yeah, that's just fucking jokes people made.
And you know what I'm saying? It's true. A lot of people would make jokes like that. It was so easy to say gay. You know what I'm saying? It was very easy to point things out and be like, oh, that's gay. That was a very normal thing.
Yeah.
Even though gay people didn't like it, it wasn't in the public lexicon to be like, yo, stop doing that.
Yeah, we didn't have enough, like a lot of people didn't have enough access to the gay community to even realize how offensive that was.
Exactly.
Because if you just grow up hearing it, you're just like, that's just what you say.
Yes.
And then, you know, once I like really broke it down and thought about it and then like heard from the perspective of a gay person going like, yeah, how do you think that feels? That, you know, the thing, every time you think something's dumb, you call it gay and I'm gay. And I was like, oh fuck.
Right.
But like,
but the time changed.
Yeah.
We are all like coming to the realization.
But we're back all learning.
Back then we were kind of like whatever with that word. And then Now you're going to go back 15 years and be like, what?
Instead of going with a lot of people going like, that's fucking great that you grew away from that. That you sought out the resources and the world and the experience to, when people have grown, you know?
Yeah.
To like realize there's shit I could look back on and it's like, yes. Oh, I can't believe I fucking... Yeah. There are literally things from my past that I'm like, if that was documented, I'd be canceled.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh, I thought that was just a funny thing to do or say. Or,
yeah.
And it's like, what? No, but...
There's moments where we're fucking shitty people, but the good people are the ones that can reflect and go, wait a second.
Can admit that they were shitty.
And I need to stop doing that.
Grow.
Right.
But the people who point their finger the loudest, I'm always like, what are you hiding?
That's what I'm saying.
Straight white male loud feminists who talk about how bad straight white males are?
Yeah.
Did you rape? Like, fucking what?
Isn't that true? Is there something?
The loudest, everyone so bad. It's
look
like
at Cosby.
Cosby
was the righteous comic, right?
Oh, he
was the
one. Don't be dirty. Pull your pants up.
Yeah.
Fucking
right.
Oh, seriously.
It is. I think it's a defense mechanism.
I'm scared when I think of people who are like these good icons. I'm like, oh man, what are you hiding?
Yeah. What do you mean good icons?
Just people who are like, what a great human. I'm trying to think of an example and I can't, but it's like, I don't know. Are we going to find out that like Lady Gaga abused animals or something?
Oh yeah, I know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that they're
and
I don't think so. I think
like it's getting to the point.
She's my favorite, but
it is getting to the point right now where I'm like, oh, so to be successful, I just got to be a horrible person.
It's like, man, it's like, is everyone just a piece of shit?
I had no idea to be successful. I just had to whip my dick out.
Yeah. And it's just like, people are talking. Yeah. But it is, we lose I don't ever want to lose I don't ever want to forget that someone's a human. Does that make sense? Like,
like what I said earlier. I want to find the human in you.
Yes. It's so easy. I mean, I think it's part of the human wiring to want to put things in a box.
Yes.
And want to make things black and white when everything is gray.
Amen.
You know?
And I think a lot of us just I don't know about you. So I'm aware of that, what you just said.
Yeah.
You're aware of that.
Yeah.
But sometimes your brain is not aware of it.
And
And then you'll fall into that same rut. And then you have to be like, what? And shake yourself out of it again.
Yeah. And it's hard with comedy because it's like, I do start, you know, even with political stuff I agree with, it's like, but I don't want to pander to this extreme. Like, is this my real thought?
Right.
Because if I do my real thoughts, nothing's going to come out. Yeah, like, if I were just to spew every thought I had about every social issue and never say what I identify with, I feel like people wouldn't be able to place they'd be like, I don't know what party she's part of. Because I would constantly be like, well, if you look at it like this way, but I mean, I agree with this, but then like, what about this?
Yeah.
It's just a constant, what's this? I'm fucking never stop questioning.
Yeah.
But we all want to go. They're this.
Yeah.
And because I've already put you in that box, you're never escaping it.
For real.
Especially just first impressions. People just go, oh, well, you're a Republican. I guess you fucking hate everyone who's not white.
You're racist.
Like, what?
Yeah.
Or like, you know, vice versa. You know, you're a liberal. Well, I guess you just want to live off the government.
Yeah. Never criticize Islam.
Nobody has to have a job. And just let everybody in. And it's like, okay, well, that part, I'm like, well, why not? But then I get why you're like, I'm scared of, I don't know.
Conservatives are more hardwired to be defensive. Like conservatives are
100%.
I think that's like the definition of a conservative. A conservative is someone who wants to conserve things just the way they are.
They don't want change. Yeah.
They don't want progression.
No.
You know, a conservative is like, what do you mean more immigrants? Just leave it alone.
I don't want to share. I don't want more.
Exactly.
And then even like the term liberal, it's like, yes, there's plenty.
Yes.
We can, you know, everyone, please, more for you.
Liberals are very much liberals are like, yo, I want to do what's right and I'm willing to burn this thing down to get it.
Yeah.
Conservatives are like, I want to do what's right, but I want to keep this building.
Yeah. I don't want a lot of change. I don't want there to be a fuss.
Yes. I don't want to tear this down.
Let's not. We have this and let's not change it.
We don't need to get rid of this wall.
Probably maybe put up another wall for safety.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Where it's like, we already, you know, we fought to get this. We should keep
it. You know what? There's a positive to both. Like, we need both.
Yeah.
You need that balance. I'm so glad that there's a checks and balance between the two sides, because in all honesty, I don't want the liberals to have everything they want. And I don't want the conservatives to have everything they want, because no. If you get everything that the conservatives want, you're going to get a lot of bullshit that you really don't want. Same thing with liberals. I think like liberals, we can go too far left.
I mean,
and then we fuck things up sometimes.
Well, there's just something to the yin and yang balance of any relationship. Yeah. Like if you like in a, you need someone in a relationship who's the grounded one.
Yeah.
Who, you know, like yeah. Major Tom to ground control. You know what I mean? Right. Just. You like if one person is like a reckless,
right.
You know, let me pay for dinner for everyone. You need the fucking partner to be like, let's, you know,
yeah.
Fucking maybe not all the time. Yeah. And let's, we gotta, you know, keep track of, we can't survive if we, especially yeah. in a capitalist society where like, for better or worse, not to be the biggest hippie, it's like, yeah, like I would love to get to the point where like money is not a thing in the world and we can just somehow exist. But like, you need money to survive. And so now you have to like, and that's that scared mindset for conservatives where it's like, you know, I gotta fucking hoard it because, yeah. You know, I need it.
But they're smart though, man. There's things about conservatives that I admire though, you know, you know, there's things that I don't like about conservatives, but I find like, you know, conservative people, especially in America, they typically come from a region of the country that they're very familial. They like, family is important.
Family orientation is big. It's big.
Picking yourself up by your bootstraps.
That's a thing I learned.
Being a contributing member to society. Don't be a freeloader.
And those are good things.
Bring food to the table. You know what I'm saying? Don't
contribute is a great lesson. Hey,
we should make the government smaller and give ourselves more freedom. And I'm all for that. The problem is that the politicians on the conservative sides don't preach that ideology.
No, they're it's all just about the bullshit.
They're all about saying fiscal conservative. We can't just give everybody free education. Hey, let's give $3 trillion to Israel to bomb whoever the fuck they want, or Saudi Arabia or whatever.
And then you're like, oh, you're pro-life, but you just spent how much on war?
Exactly.
On killing people.
So my point is like, you know, both our politicians on both sides, they only preach to their constituents what they want to hear, and then they never do it.
Well, and they're also just fucking like shills for whatever corporations are in their pocket. You know what
well
I mean?
Like you were saying, the corporate Democrats, lot of Democrats don't like to hear that term, corporate Democrat. I'm like, bitch, there's corporate Democrats. Okay,
it's like I don't like almost any politician in my opinion is a fucking by and large a bad person. Someone who's maybe they start out with good ideals, but so many of them end up influenced by these corporations who are like, I'll give you money, you got to vote for this, you got to push this thing on both sides. And then it's like, rarely is anyone who I think really cares about the people close to being president. You know what I mean? Like you have to be a little bit of a psychopath for the most part to like want to run for president. Yeah. And I'm not saying everyone who's running is, but like I'd say that I almost think like in the best society would be run by a president who was appointed, where whether you like it or not, you're now president because you have the best ideal. I mean, that would never work.
Oh, it was like one of those things.
Well, because
like
the people with the greatest ideals, I think would never, they're like,
yeah,
like it's a miracle Bernie is as far as he is as an independent, to in my opinion,
yeah,
like without taking any corporate money,
yeah.
And I like literally every day, I'm like, is he gonna get assassinated? Like, because
don't think like that.
I mean, I fucking worry.
Well, here's the thing, because someone like
corporations
him,
are really
that's what I'm saying. I mean, come on, man, money is everything in this world. I hate to say it, but it is.
It.
If we can get rid of money, that'd be great. But I'm one of those people where I realized early on, and I had to really convince myself, because I'm usually like, oh, patriotic and everything.
Yeah.
America and this, that, and the other
Marines.
Thing. And now I realize, yo, man, fuck all that patriotic shit. Fuck the Bill of Rights. Fuck the Constitution. All that really matters is that Dow Jones number, motherfucker. Because when that thing crashes, that's
we're
when you
fucked.
Gotta sit on your front porch with a fucking box full of sardines and a fucking rifle and keep your fucking shit together.
Fuck.
Because that's really all that matters. People say, no, love. I'm like, motherfucker, not many people are gonna love you if you can't wash your ass.
Yeah, is it like, so if the Dow Jones crashes, does that mean the American currency crashes? Because I feel like,
yeah, well, I mean, the Dow Jones,
I don't
Jones,
have enough money
the
to
Dow
care
Jones,
about the stock market
the Dow
unless
Jones
it fucks up the dollar.
What?
Like, when people are like, if the stock market crashes, I'm like, you have stocks?
Like, oh, right.
I'm like, ah.
You don't have stocks?
I'm too poor to notice if the stock market crashes. Yeah.
I don't like the stock market. That's why I invest in real estate. Stock market doesn't work for me.
Help me invest in real estate. I have 10 bucks.
I would love to help. I love helping people. I even got to convince the comic in LA.
I'll manage an apartment complex. How does it work?
You'd be a hilarious manager though. Because you do got that short, stout manager like thing.
I look like I am the manager and I'm going to ask for the manager.
Do you ever see the movie with Joe Pesci, The Super?
No, but that's so funny because I watched Home Alone recently and I literally texted my friend and my friend Nicole. You know Nicole Amy.
Yeah.
So you see her stature. I was like, we need to write something where we are that kind of like cartoony villainy. Because I was like, boy, I could play a part like that. Really
I good. Think you could like, you got to watch The Super.
Fucking angry.
The Super was really good because it's a comedy about Joe Pesci, who's a slumlord. And he has this one building and he doesn't fucking fix anything. He just only wants to collect rent. And when he gets there, you see how horrible he is to everyone in the fucking building. That's the things I need to lead into
is be like a fucking little angry.
Yeah, because you're little. It's funny. It's funny because it's a misdirection in and of itself. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Fuck.
And then the movie is about how the government takes him to court and a judge orders him to live in that place for like, I think, that's a year. Funny. And now he's got to live with them. And then there's this transition of how he like hates these people. And then all of a sudden he becomes part of the community.
Yeah. And he right? like empathizes.
But what I'm saying is like, that's kind of like how I feel. When you said like, you want to be a property manager, I'm like, that's who you would be. Like, it would be,
but, I mean,
in a funny way, it would be that, I think, you know, someone's like a horrible person.
How much does it take? Cost to invest in real estate.
That depends on where you invest. I can only speak about Detroit.
Detroit?
Yeah. Right now.
Like if I wanted to start investing.
Right now.
Right now.
Okay. I would say if you wanted to start investing right now, at the bare minimum, you're going to need $50,000 to get a house.
I will never invest. Unless someone buys my remake of The Super.
3 years ago? Lead. 3 years ago? $30,000.
You think, as someone who's involved in real estate, I don't know if you
10 years ago, $10,000.
Real estate's going to crash soon, right? So I know that it's probably not a thing you want me to talk
about. No, I've been talking about it all the time to investors and stuff. So
like
the,
when it crashes?
The economy goes in cycles,
waves,
right?
Yeah, cycles.
And every economist under the sun is kind of going, yo, man, we kind of like passed that. Mark, how come we haven't? And a lot of it is because, you know what quantitative easing is?
No.
Oh God. It's basically, it's a way for the government to stimulate the economy by printing more dollars, which devalues the dollar, but it artificially props it up.
Fuck our government.
And here's the thing that's trippy, okay?
Yeah.
About 2-3 months ago, the Federal Reserve just printed $70 billion new dollars to quote unquote stimulate the financial industry.
Yeah, but where does that money go?
And guess when was the last time the Federal Reserve did that?
Right before
2008. Right before the fucking crash.
Yeah, that's the year I fucking got out of college, by the way. And I was like, oh, now the job market crashes?
Yeah.
Fuck you. I remember 2 years before that, my friend who was a couple years older than me being like, yeah, I just got this job. You know, she was just like, I'm making like 60 grand. And I was like, 60 grand, that's it. Like a fucking naive dumbass. Yeah. And then I was like, I work for $32,000. My first, like my big girl job. But
yeah.
Do you think, not that like, I'm not going to suddenly, well, ideally I'll have more money by then just from work in general and things will
if you
take
wanna-
off more. But do you think it's smart to like, if I'm going to invest, like wait till it fucking.
Yes.
Wait,
I was about to say that. Like, so for example,
get a house as soon as it crashes.
So,
or whatever.
So right now, no, on that one. And I'll tell you why later. But right now, yeah, it feels like we're in a bubble right now because property values are back up to the prices before we fucking crashed. It doesn't seem like we have the housing market crisis that we had the first time, because the first time they like lifted the regulations and then the fucking banks were just running wild, giving like loans to people that shouldn't have loans.
Yeah, my mom fucking shouldn't have had a house.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, she lost it.
And a lot of people lost their homes, man. But what was I just saying? I was about to
something about investing. When to buy and then, or when to get an investment and then when to get a house.
So like right now, I just sold two homes in Detroit that doubled and tripled in price. Oh, over
you're getting
the years
out. On some of those, you're getting out while the so strike
that's
what I'm doing.
Right now, this last year, I just went and found the home. I just went through my inventory and said, these homes have doubled or tripled in price. I'm going to sell those. And then I'm going to take those proceeds and buy more homes in the Detroit area that are cheaper. So I took, so I sold two homes and turned it. I was like, no, I sold three. I sold two homes and I turned that into five.
Fuck.
So like, you know what I mean? Cause like the homes in Detroit are way more cheaper.
Yeah.
Like, from
are you going to like try to sell some soon and keep that for when the market crashes and then invest?
So the thing is like or investing in Detroit estate? Is more cash flow.
Yeah.
It's all about renting out and collecting that income.
Constant flow.
So
to
me, it's like, I would rather sell this more expensive home.
Yeah.
Buy multiple, increase my income. So that way, if the market does crash,
you at least have that.
At least I sold that home and turned it into something that can give me
that's
income.
Bringing in like at least, you know, yeah. What is that fucking passive income?
Exactly.
That's the term I was looking for.
Exactly. So like right now would not be a good time. I think next this coming year, this summer, I think I'm going to try to sell a couple more. Hopefully that everything's still
good.
But the idea is this, at least the last quarter of this year might happen. I don't know.
And then
maybe it'll never happen.
As someone who, I mean, yeah, maybe it will never happen, but.
But yeah, but typically you want to buy when everyone's scared.
When everyone's like.
Yeah, that's the time to buy.
When everyone's scared of the market crashing.
Yeah, like Warren Buffett has this very famous thing, because when it comes to investment, when people are running to it, run away.
Yeah, okay.
When people are running away, run to it.
Okay.
You know, go to it because you want to buy when it's low, when people are too scared.
When people are too scared.
You don't
want to
buy like, when everyone's like, this is the shit. Are you going to
so
buy
when it
now?
Like crashes right after that, you go like, I'll buy one.
Yeah.
Or is it right when it's about to crash?
No.
No, because it's way too expensive and it's going to lose
all
value.
Way too expensive.
Yeah.
That's way too much money.
Do you, as someone who rents properties, and this is just literally a selfish as a renter question, is there a time of year where it's probably cheaper to rent? Like, are there times when you're like trying to rent a property and because less people are moving, you're like,
probably dead of winter, but that's in the Michigan area for
sure. I know
sure.
In
LA,
California, it's like,
I don't even think, I don't, I think LA.
I'm like, I wonder when people move to LA usually.
LA is a different market because the demand is so high. There's so many people that want to live in LA that you're not going to have like a season to get.
Yeah, it's probably the worst during pilot season because people are like, I'm going to move out there and be a star.
But probably.
Although pilot season seems to be becoming a thing slowly at the past because all the networks are whatever.
Yeah.
Man.
But
I want to buy a house.
You should buy a house. Everyone should try to buy a house, man.
I can barely pay my rent.
Yeah. I mean, I started earlier. I started when the market crashed.
Smart. So. I'm hoping to make enough money that by the, like, have a good chunk so that when the market crashes, I can at least like jump in on something.
Yeah.
And I'm working toward it. We'll see. I'm working toward it. I was like, I can't pay my bills.
Well, if you could save money now, man, like I think in a couple of years, would be a real good time to buy.
Yeah.
So I want to buy a home in LA. I don't know if I want to get to that point, but I mean, like, you know, if I had the money now, I wouldn't.
I look at homes in LA on real estate things for, I have no business looking. I'll sometimes even just look for rentals. I'm not, my lease isn't even up until like April, but I just, I'm like, this home is only this much money and they have a pool and like, there's literally a house on Zillow that's for rent in the Valley and it just went down and I shouldn't know that. I was like, it got cheaper. I should go rent it. It's like, what?
Yeah.
Like I'm obsessed with houses, even though I know nothing of the market. I just love looking at them. I think that's probably.
Then you should go into real estate. Thing is,
my career in comedy is going fine.
There you go. There you go.
If you ever need someone to manage a property in LA.
I think I'll have you act like a manager in a movie first. That'd be hilarious.
Now you've literally got the like wheels turning in my head. Like, oh,
you know,
that is a,
like why? I've always wanted to do this running bit with a character like that. That's like really angry and short, but like runs around with a footstool so she can like get as high enough to fucking scream at people.
That's so funny. Just plops it down. Just, I will not be disrespectful.
Yeah.
That's fucking great. Well, I don't know. Any closing thoughts? Any?
Did you have any questions from the fucking people?
I did. That's why I was looking at my phone. I asked them.
Oh, you asked
them? Someone asked one that I was like, that's not really.
What was it?
Pertinent now. They said, how does someone from Yemen serve in the U.S. Marines? But you didn't live in Yemen. You're just from there.
Right.
And then
they
asked, how old were you when you came to the U.S.? So I kind of covered that.
Oh, right.
And then the other one was, there weren't that many questions. I just put it up last minute because I didn't know if I was going to get to interview you. But
okay.
The was about the, did you experience any hazing or anything? Oh, extra hazing in the because of being a Muslim.
No. I had some hatred a bit from like certain people in there that tried to like fuck with me. But
did you ever get hassled for your race like after 9/11?
But I wasn't in the military after 9/11.
That's true. In general life, I know we talked about it a little, but did you feel
what?
I don't know. Like how you said that guy who owned the gas station did all the like American flag. Yeah. Did you feel like you needed to do anything like that?
I mean, there was moments.
Or did you tell more people you were a Marine or anything? You're like, I was served.
No, as a matter of fact, after that, I never wanted to tell anyone I was a Marine.
Yeah.
Because it was more disappointing to see people liking me only because I was a Marine.
Yeah. Do you feel like that?
You know
sometimes
what I mean?
When you get applause on stage.
I'd rather you just dislike me.
Than like not like you and then you're like, oh, he served. Well,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
Like. That is so funny to me that people just go like,
yeah,
oh, thank you. It's like that guy could still be an asshole.
Right.
I mean, it's great what you guys do. I'm very thankful for it so that we can do what we do.
Yeah.
But it is funny watching people turn.
Yeah. Yeah. I've had that. I had a guy like I had a party when I was living in Detroit, like early 2000s. And then
it's like, oh, you're only sorry because I served.
And then I walked in on this conversation where this guy's talking to the rest of the people at the party and some of my friends about how Arabs are horrible and they need to get.
That's so cartoonishly funny to walk in.
Right. And then he's like, whatever. He's like, they shouldn't be let in here. They're savages. They're this. So then I like got into the conversation. And then I was like, whatever. And just then I started telling him. And then he was like, well, I can tell you're Arab, man. He's like, I'm sorry, dude, but that's just the way it is. Then I'm like, what do you mean that's the way it is? And then he's like, I'm like, what gives you the authority to say that that's the way it is? And he goes, hey, man, I don't know about you, but I served in the Marine Corps. What did you do for your country? And then
hoorah, bitch.
And then I opened up my tattoo, my Marine Corps tattoo, and this guy short circuited. I saw sparks come out of his fucking eyes. And he literally was like, oh, hey, Devil Dog, what's up, man? Oh, man, that's amazing. And then I kicked him out of my party.
You didn't learn better in the Marines to like fucking. Like, yeah, do you not know that there is fucking like Arab people who join the Marines?
Or like after 9/11, I remember one time, like I was dating this girl, like me, and she was practically my wife. We were together 9 years. We even had
That's
a house.
So long.
We had a house in Detroit and in Dearborn, actually in the suburbs.
Ooh,
and,
Dearborn.
Yeah. And then I was driving home from work and I got behind this lady. And what happened was, is I fucked up and did an asshole move.
Yeah.
While driving, okay? And it pissed off this lady, but she was really pissed off because I was Arab. And I pulled
You're in, sure?
You, well, hear me out. So then, because you could tell. Oh. You could just, it's just like, as a minority, you can tell that type of angry white person.
I don't have
person.
That.
Yeah.
You're just like, I was, you're sure she's you not just angry about her day and taking it out on you?
No. And I pulled my car into my driveway. And I got out and she pulled up and started screaming at me, go back to your country.
Okay,
blah,
yeah, well,
blah.
You could tell.
This, that, and the other thing, okay? And then the best is that my girlfriend steps out. My girlfriend was this hot white girl. And this, she steps out. She's like, what the hell is going on? And she goes, oh, can you believe this Arab man? He parked in your driveway. And she goes.
In her car. She was in the car with you. She walked out of the house.
Out of the house.
Oh.
Yeah. And then my girlfriend goes, that's my husband. And that lady was like, what? Like she literally had a stroke. And then she called the cops. She had that pissed her off so much. She picked up the phone and called the cops. And to try to tell
white
the cops,
women, stop.
Like it was crazy. So like shit like that would happen.
And what do you say? There's a man who's Arab and he's made me mad. Like what are you?
Yeah, yeah.
What are you calling the cops about? You're yelling in his driveway.
Oh, and I had fun with it. Like, she was all like, what? And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, well, I fucking tap that ass every night. You don't like that, do you, huh?
That's so funny.
Yeah, I'll be like, yes, I gotta have fun with that shit.
It's like, what goes wrong in your... It just bums me out. It's sad that people are raised to have that mindset. But fuck that. Maybe hopefully she learned something. And she's like,
No. Didn't look like the type of person that would learn anything.
No, didn't look like much of a learner.
No, not at all.
Shocking.
Yeah, right.
Well, this has been really fucking awesome.
Yeah, that was fun. How long did we do?
Almost an hour and a half.
Wow.
This was great.
It was good, yeah.
Where can people find you? online and stuff.
Oh yeah, on everything. Mike from Detroit. Mike from Detroit.com on Twitter, Instagram, YouPorn, everything. Mike from Detroit.
Go find him. He's real funny. Check him out. And thanks for listening. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, there you have it. Mike Eshak and everything Muslim, Marine, hoorah, Allah, blah, blah, blah. Awesome, fun interview. I hope you enjoyed listening as much as I enjoyed doing it and asking him all of my stupid questions. If you like the podcast, please subscribe, rate, review it on iTunes if you haven't already, and share it with your friends because everyone's a little bit ignorant sometimes. Big thank you to John, Dustin, Jean, Kathy, and Terry, exclusive members of the League of Extraordinary Idiots on Patreon. Couldn't do it without you, and I am grateful for your support, both through Patreon and just your interactions on and across the web. You can join the Patreon and get cool postcards or merch or more content from me, patreon.com/ignoranceisblessed. We also have a Facebook group, Ignorance's #blessedidiots. I always post there ahead of time. I post guests and ask for questions, so get on over there if you want to be able to submit your questions to possibly be asked. And we sometimes just start random conversations, and it's kind of a safe space for unsafe questions where, you know, we invite people to engage in discourse with, you know, people who might see things different than them without resorting to name-calling or getting immature and petty. It's a way to learn and grow together and see other people's perspective. You can follow the podcast on Instagram or Twitter, Instagram's probably the best because you get to see the faces of all of my incredible guests. And please keep in mind that no guest is or claims to be a representative for every person who has a similar identity. They are just one person sharing their own experience and ideas to help us get a peek at how things look from their situated position in the world. If you have additional questions for Mike or any guest, a topic you want covered, get into that Facebook group. Let me know. Or I have a tweet somewhere not too far down my timeline asking for suggestions. Send it in there. I've got a bunch of stuff coming down the pipeline. I've got someone with OCD. I have someone who was part of the Zion Society as a child, which is a very dark fundamentalist Mormon cult. And I have someone who grew up in a mixed race household with just adopted siblings of all different races. And I have someone who lost a parent to ALS. There's a lot of cool stuff. I have a burner from Burning Man. So just fucking get over, get your suggestions. I'm really excited for the new year, and I hope you guys are as excited for this as I am. Thank you so much for, you know, subscribing to this and all my bullshit. Look me up at JMS Comedy on all the social medias if you want to follow my personal stuff. I also have a second podcast I co-host with the hilarious Nicole Amy Schreiber, who is a former guest of the show and my best friend in the whole world. And keep asking questions. The more we ask, the more we learn. The more we know. And the more we know, the more we can look down on others who aren't as smart as we are. And isn't that the point? Thank you for listening, and thank you for being patient with my ignorance. See you soon, idiots.